Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Welcome to the Mac Show, the weekly show from the British Tech Network that deals with all things Macintosh in a week where there's been sod all Apple news yet again. I think. Joining
well,
me...
If there's no Apple TV, then what news could there possibly be that we care about?
We should do this before we even get the introductions out of the way, I suppose. You have got surrounded, Kyle. We've got Dr. Happy Mac, Andy Anatko, Will Green, and Carl Swagger on the panel. And Mr. Swagger, you are hemmed in by two guys that you owe money to.
I am, aren't I? Yeah. And I feel really comfortable.
Because they can't reach you.
Yeah. I'm in the Philippines. No, I just send me the PayPal addresses. I'm a man of my word. I shall send the $20 a piece. However, though, at the end of the year, I'll still have the last laugh.
Because there will be a TV at the end of the year.
There will be a TV, and there's going to be that tablet. The tablet's actually, personally, is what I'm a bit pissed about, to be honest.
Well, you didn't have money on that.
I'm going to have one. No, I didn't. No, but if I was really, really, really ever going to seriously put a buttload of money, which I'm glad I didn't, it would have been just this week for that tablet. So... yeah, I'm a little disappointed in that.
Do we sense a double or quits coming on here?
No, I don't. I don't know what you're feeling.
You need to clear the image sensor because there's some spots on that lens. If you think that,
yeah.
7-inch iPad. Wow. Because the thing is, because I can see Apple selling a TV and making money at it. I'm not sure what they would do with the 7-inch. That's all.
It's all about all I know is it's all about the books with that 7-inch. So yeah.
It's all about the books.
It's all about the books. Yeah. It's all about
if they market. Did it, I wonder if they'd call it an iPad. That's all I'm saying.
I hear iReader. That's what I keep hearing. iReader.
We'll see. Joining me, we got top left.
Holy crap. Thank
Dr. Happy Mac, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good.
I bet it's not been a great week for you, has it?
No. Apparently, there's some new computers that have been released, which are real buggers to fix.
Yeah, you need a screwdriver to lever that hard drive off the board.
I'm retiring. Gertie the Hammer is going back into the cupboard, never to be used again.
Well, don't worry. If you're a man who fixes Macs, mate, you're as out of work as Growl, Instapaper. They're all gone now.
Yeah. Facebook haven't dropped $230 million on me, though, have they?
No. Next to him, Mr. Andy Anatko. How you doing, mate?
Dude.
Thank you. So you've got a fantastic weather in Boston there.
Finally. It's been back order for 2.5 months. But yeah. Finally got it.
Meanwhile, Hurricane Gertrude or something is rolling into Britain, and we're being windswept this weekend, so... awfully sorry. Good week to have you on, mate.
At least you had the good weather for the Royal Barge.
Yeah, that was. Did you see any of the coverage?
The problem is that like you could get it here in the United States. The only channels two channels had it, I think. But the problem was that the ones who really who had it felt as though they really, really, really were grateful to have it. So it was like, oh, it's the Queen. And the old guy, what's his name? What's the paper? Phil is next to him too. Like, oh, for God's sakes. It's like coincidentally, I think that the same weekend, the Gay Pride Parade was here in Boston. And it's the exact same sort of thing where it's like, oh, it's a great, let's go out. It's something interesting. It's something unusual. It's a festival atmosphere. Let's just enjoy the day out. But these BBC America was like, oh, everyone stand up. Everyone in the studio, stand up. We have a live shot of the Queen. Stand up. Oh, I really don't. I know people. I know English people. They really don't take it quite that seriously as you in the studio are taking it.
If you're in your mid-80s and it's your birthday officially, do you really want to stand on a barge for 4 hours by a cold river in the rain and then go to a rock concert?
Yeah, it was. John Oliver pointed that out in the Bugle, saying, okay, so you forced a 90-year-old man to stand outside in the rain on a boat all day, and then the next day he was in the hospital. Go figure!
It's true. It's absolutely true. Beneath him, we've got Mr. Carl Swagger.
Yeah, Mr. $40. Yeah. By the way, Andy, you look fantastic without that hat. Can I have $5 off?
Tell me something about my eyes. You can have $10 off.
How's the Philippines, mate? Hot and sweaty, no doubt.
I actually know it's been a bit mild lately. We've had some rain come through. We've got a typhoon actually up to the east of us right now. I don't think it's going to hit us though. I think it's going up towards Japan. It's actually been a bit mild for the last few days, so the air conditioner doesn't work quite as hard. It's been nice.
Good. Some saving grace to the fact that you're out by $40.
And
next to him, one of his other creditors, Mr. Will Green from British Mech.
Hello, chap.
How's it going?
Oh, very well, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. All right, not too bad at all. We got Apple products. We got stuff to talk about. We got things that happened. We got to start with the obvious one. I mean, the big, big kahuna on the top of the pile was obviously 15 inches of beautifulness with a super thin screen and 765 gigabyte drive wired to the board. And
I was going to order one, but unfortunately I'm $40 short.
Now, Mr. Inatco, you have one.
Indeed I do, and I've been playing with it for the past like 2 or 3 days. Look, I enjoy the skinniness. Oh, where's the remote? Damn it. I can't zoom in. But anyway.
It's close.
Look, HDMI. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're never going to have HDMI. Is this the slippery slope of Timland now that we've gone down into HDMI being included in it?
That's just a MacBook Air that he's putting close to the camera, isn't it? That's all it is.
Looking for soft focus. What do you think then, mate?
Lovely. It's a great machine. I think there are a lot of smart ideas in here, and I think one of the smartest ones was that Apple looked at the whole MacBook line and said, let's discontinue the 17-inch because there's really no more reason for it to exist now that we have that super density display and a 15-inch machine. My big worry was that they were going to force everybody who wants like a really good MacBook to use this design. So with this as designated as, I mean, Apple explicitly, even when you talk to Apple about it, they explicitly talk about it as a next generation futuristic design. And so on that basis, if it's okay to have it in the product line, if that's just an option, if everybody who goes into the Apple store who wants a premium Mac notebook, who had to settle for no onboard Ethernet, no upgradability, no optical drive, no mechanical hard drive, that would be a really, and by the way, it's going to cost you a minimum of $2,100. That would have been a horrible, horrible move. But as it is, this really is kind of like the best, it's definitely the best Mac that Apple's ever made, start to finish. And I think that it really is, you have to start using it to appreciate how cool it is to have this super, super density display. I mean, I got the new version of Aperture here. Watch me drop it. That'll be a great video. I got the new version of Aperture here, which of course is completely optimized for the Retina display. And you spend so little time zooming in because the full screen display really shows you all the detail you need. When you're triaging like 200, 300 photos, the thumbnails are detailed enough that you can really do most of your pass fail judgments on your pictures just by looking at all the detail in the thumbnails. And that says nothing about how crisp and clean all the text is and all the menus are throughout the whole experience. It really is a lot like the new iPad that most people have had experience with. It's not as though you take it out of the box, you use it for the first time, and you are suddenly set fire to every other tablet that you've ever used. It's a subtle thing, but only then when you go back to like a non-Retina display do you realize exactly how big the improvements are. Oh, the first time that it really hit me in the face how great this display was when I fired up Safari. And all the text on a web page is being rendered, of course, by the operating system. So it's being rendered at 220 DPI. But when you go to a news site, all of the graphics that they produced for the site were produced at 75 DPI. And so in a lot of that is actually text that was, we're not going to do all this sort of HTML formatting to get this table going. We'll just render it out as a PNG or a JPEG file and put it on there. And then, man alive, does the difference stick out like a sore thumb. You just can't appreciate how big it is until you actually see it side by side. So I'm not sure if it were my own money, if this had come out last year was the year that I needed to replace my own 15-inch MacBook. I'm not even sure that for me personally that I would have spent an extra $500 on the Retina version of it. I would have been damn tempted though. But it really just show you what Apple will do when you give them the mandate. Look, we're not going to be replacing the 15-inch Mac Pro with this. We're just going to make this as a whole separate thing. Go nuts. Do whatever you think you have to do to make a computer that's going to be relevant 3 years from now. And this is the answer.
Isn't triaging something to do with having your balls cut off?
Triage? No, that's separation from wheat from chaff, mate.
Oh.
It's what you get when you go to A&E and they say, how bad is it, Mr. Green?
And I say it's really bad. They really hurt.
Yeah. Then you go a little bit further up the list.
And that's when they did the triaging.
That is triaging, mate.
Oh, is it?
Walking wounded left, dead ones to the right. That's it.
So what's that going to do with the computer then?
He's talking about photos. He's looking at photos. Okay, saying,
first of all, the term originated from the TV series MASH, which I grew up watching as a kid, where the if people are so wounded they need to go into the OR immediately versus the ones who think they can just stabilize until things get settled down. So yes, it's about having 200 pictures and saying these 30 are okay, I'll work with these 170. Either it's blurry or the exposure is bad or someone's eyes are closed or there's a nipple showing and I don't want a nipple to be showing. That's the
you triage. Bastard, you see these photos and you think, right, I've had enough of you, and you get rid of them and then you keep the ones that you want. Is that right?
That's kind of it. Sophie's choice.
Greeny, if you've upset an actor and he doesn't come back on here, I'm going to have you, mate. You leave him alone. Well,
I'm going to wear a false beard to the bash, and then you won't be able to.
You should anyway, because I think false beard should be coming in. You just a little chin merkin would really get you meet the international man of mystery that you should be.
Andy, have you got your hat?
When did nipple shots come into this, by the way?
I own a hat, yes.
No, have you got your hat now?
It's in the house.
No,
if you'd like me to leave the chair and go get
go
get it. But I think that's the man who's controlling the podcast.
Well, we'll do it at the end. We'll do it at the end, maybe.
We'll leave it at the end.
Right, Andy. My question is, now there was a big chat about the video capabilities on this machine, and they were saying that in Final Cut, they're going to rewrite Final Cut so it works full screen Retina. But they were saying that the preview corner was going to be full 1080p. And you'd be able to watch your video in full 1080p. Now, I know from using Final Cut Pro a fair bit that bit, if you put graphics and things like that up there, when you press play so that you can watch it in real time, it crunches all the graphics down into something that really would be unusable just while it does the playing, and then it lets them come back up when you're in stills. I mean, I know there's graphics on the board itself for the Intel chip, and I know that there's a graphics card in there as well as... But I just got my skeptical head in when I said that really is going to play full render 1080p video on the fly without processing first.
Realize that this entire system has been optimized so that it can drive this 5-megapixel display in real time anyway. So there's a lot of juice under the hood to begin with. I'm not the Final Cut Pro 10 Pro X Ninja that other people on this panel are. I did import a couple of 1080p movies. I do a Final Cut Pro here and was able to cut some of my favorite scenes from the Jim Abrams Star Trek movie and was able to see it in 1080 in the upper right hand corner. It looked great to me. But I haven't really started doing torture tests on it this weekend. But the superficial tests really do show that, yeah, it does really work, and it is really, really smooth. And a lot of it, I'm guessing, is actually just optimization. Aperture is also incredibly much smoother. And part of that is just making some really, really sensible decisions about saying, instead of this guy has just imported 500 pictures, instead of making him wait for Aperture to generate previews of each and every one of them before he can effectively use them, why don't we just say that the bundled JPEG preview that the camera threw in package with the raw file anyway, we'll let him use that And then if he actually opens that up to full screen, then we'll make him wait maybe a second and a half to render a full screen sized preview of it and not make him wait. I mean, I imported and the entire contents of a 32 gigabyte memory card, something like 1500 pictures on it that I've been accumulating over the past, you know, month, month and a half, 2 months, just to see how fast it would deal with it. And it obviously it takes a while to copy that much data onto even onto flash memory. But once it was in 10 seconds after it was loaded in, I could really work with each and every one of these files. It wasn't that sort of spinning cursor saying processing, 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 processing. Mm. So maybe there's a I think there's a lot of not just hardware engineering, but a lot of human engineering about figuring out how can we optimize this experience so that people are going to really not going to spend as much time being annoyed by the wait when they're processing videos and photos.
Guys, anyone else got any thoughts about this new Mac? I mean, I kind of, I have to admit, I lectured a little bit when it first came out. But Carl?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I do. I think, first and foremost, I think it's a beautiful piece of machinery. It's probably the best thing they put out since, you know, Steve has left us. That being said, though, when I look at the MacBook Pro with Retina display, and then I look at just the MacBook Pro, I almost feel like if you got a MacBook Pro, someone's just going to come over and tell you, yeah, but you didn't get the Pro. It's almost that the MacBook Pro with Retina display is the Pro now. And I feel like the MacBook Pro has just become the MacBook.
It's the other way around, isn't it, really? I mean, the MacBook Pro old style is still the Pro, and the MacBook Retina Pro is the 15-inch MacBook Air.
Remember that Apple hasn't sold a MacBook since they discontinued the white plastic model. That $999 educational model was the only thing that they were making that was actually called the MacBook. Now there's the MacBook Air, the MacBook Pro, and the MacBook Pro with Retina display. And yes, that is the official name of the product, because I did ask for clarification about that. It is the MacBook Pro with Retina display. I was thinking it was going to be next generation MacBook, but no, it's MacBook Pro with Retina display.
I think that the existing MacBook Pros are the Pro machines. If you're buying a fully Pro machine, that's the one you should be looking more at going to. Something's annoying me about the soldered onness of the thing. I know they have to do but it's a fantastic machine for a certain niche and a certain person and a lot of needs. And if I was going to buy one, that would be the one I would get, because I don't really need to stress the machine that much. But if I was running a busy wedding photography business or so-and-so, then I would probably look to one of the actual pros.
Well, that's a bad example, because if you were an actual wedding photographer, it would be the display would absolutely drive you towards this machine. Absolutely. And you would say, well, for lots of storage, I'll just add like a terabyte Thunderbolt drive. It's super fast, or a really super fast USB 3.0 drive. That'll work just fine. But I absolutely agree with you. The problem that I'm navigating, I'm trying to find the best way to really put it in the full length review that's going to run on Monday, is that I do believe that once you start asking me for $2,100 to $3,000 for a machine, I have certain basic expectations. You really have to provide extra value for it. And it disappoints me that this is a $3,000 conceivably machine that doesn't have onboard Ethernet. I'm going to have to get a Thunderbolt dongle for it and remember to bring that dongle with me whenever I travel, in order just to get access to high-speed networking. Or even the basics of, I'm in a hotel, I need to connect to the internet. The Wi-Fi stinks in this part of the hotel. Thank God I have this Ethernet jack. And oh wait, that's right, I didn't think I would need it, so I didn't bring it with me. Now I'm gonna have to go and walk around a foreign city like a heroin addict looking for my fix of an Apple store, and then spend $50 equivalent of United States funds in order just to get a basic feature that somebody. Do you realize that the Google Chromebook, like that $400 cloud-based computer that Samsung sells, that has gigabit Ethernet built in, but not a $3,000 MacBook. That ain't right.
But I wouldn't worry about the Thunderbolt
more
to them.
Importantly, or more immediately, or not immediately in terms of the uses, to drop £2,500-£3,000 on your MacBook Pro Retina for your photography business, your video business, et cetera, et cetera. And then 18 months down the line, discover that the eight gigs of RAM that you ordered it with isn't cutting the mustard, and being completely buggered, not being able to go out and buy a couple of 16 gig chips and drop them in. That is the big issue. The screen is fantastic, and I can probably live with the dongle. And I did learn the other day that the actual SSD in the machine is going to be removable when people spin up and can, but the RAM, you know, if you make the mistake and you buy it with 8 gigs of RAM, you can be cursing yourself after a very short amount of time.
I think the one thing that I always talk about with photography equipment, if people write into the photo show, is to start thinking about bang for buck, as in how much more am I getting for this extra outlay that I'm putting on. Now, I've got my work machine I bought 3 months ago. Bad move, maybe. But at the time, it seemed all right. But I've got, I mean, I'm very happy, actually. I've got a very fast processor. I bought the high-end 15-inch MacBook. I've got the higher-end drive. I've got 16 gig of RAM in it. I put a 512 SSD in it myself and put a second OptiBay drive in because I do need storage when I'm on the road. I don't want to carry extra drives around. I want everything there on my laptop. And I think I've got better value for money in that product, significantly better value for money than this product. I like this product. It looks good. I'm going to sit and I'm going to get warm pants over it. But I'm sorry, that in terms of bang for buck, this thing is not going to be giving me. And if you're selling a £3,000 laptop, then I mean it tricked out to 16 gig with 768 gig flash drive here and the 2.7 gigahertz quad core processor at i7 is £3,098 here, so that rotates probably to $4,000. Now that would be the minimum spec that I would want, and I only paid $2,002 for my machine, and actually my machine does as much, and I just think I got better value by a long, long way. And it's not me trying to justify the fact I only bought it 3 months ago.
I completely agree with you. I mean, also, if someone came up with me all excited about wanting to buy a $3,000 computer, I would say, well, how about you treat that as a $3,000 budget for buying computer stuff? Because for that amount of money, you could get a really good 13-inch MacBook Air, which would be nice, ultra portable. You can also have an iPad. You can also have a Thunderbolt display that will give you all the high speed ports that you really, really want. Plus a really nice high speed Thunderbolt drive. Plus. And then we talk about the budget for software that you'll have left over. And at the end, you'll have a really nice system that you can do a million different things with, as opposed to having, I do believe that this is the best Mac, individual Mac they've made, but it's just not the best for everybody. I mean, you can't do the same range of things with this as you could with $3,000 worth of computer equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a problem in photographic terms with Leica. You know, they make great equipment. It takes nice pictures. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but for the money that it costs, it isn't worth the difference.
They make a $6,000 camera that takes only black and white digital pictures.
Yeah.
And if you're going to tell me that, if you try to even start to argue with me that, oh yes, but it's designed to take black and white pictures, so the black and white pictures, okay, how about this? I give you $1,500 for a really good, not the best SLR in the world, but a really good SLR, $1,000 for a really great lens, and then a $3,000 budget to hire a professional photo retoucher to take 100 photos that you want and turn it to black and white. Tell me that that this Leica is taking better pictures than the system that I've just described.
No, definitely not.
They look nice, though, don't they?
Yeah, it's a badge. It's a badge to wear.
It's for me, I'm not really into photography. But I like the look of the Leica. Is it the M7 or M8 or something?
M9 is the current sort of is the budget mage.
I think the one thing I'm most disappointed about this is, in fact, I mean, yeah, fine, it's a great computer. Trust me, if I had the money on the table right now, I'd probably get with the Retina. But in fact, the 15-inch Retina display killed the 17-inch MacBook Pro. It killed it.
There's a certain element, I think, of screen size as well. I mean, Andy's saying the clarity there is a big factor. Andy, do you believe that there's going to be a market for 17-inch MacBook Pro anymore, or is it a done deal?
No, I mean, you think about the reasons why people wanted a 17-inch screen, and that was really just to have a big enough desktop that you can have like multiple preview windows of value at the same time. Once the Mac apps get optimized for the Retina display, and you can have a 15-inch sized user interface, which is easy for the human brain to process, but with those super, super dense previews and those super, super dense editing windows when you need it, like for video and for photos, I don't think anybody's going to say, I miss the extra size of it. I mean, God, I saw the last time I saw someone in an airport with a 17-inch MacBook, It seemed like he was a very, very small human being. My mind would not process the idea that he was carrying a 17-inch notebook. I mean, it's a bigger deal on the Windows side, where there's more of a need for a real desktop computer that you can close and then take to another location. But I don't think there's a whole lot of people, even professional videographers who do editing on site, who would necessarily prefer a 17-inch physically large screen as opposed to just a super dense display.
It's good on the train, though, isn't it?
Well, definitely, because people can't sit next to you because your big display there. And so you get the second seat yourself.
It's not just that, though. You see people with their Windows computers, and that's one level. Then you get your Mac user, right? And then you've got a 13-inch one, and they open that. And then, like, maybe sort of getting towards business class, you get the guy who opens up his 15-inch. But when you open up your 17-inch, you know what I mean?
It's laying down the standard.
To be honest, it is. People admire you. They look at you with love, admiration, awe, in fact. Well, because of the size of my computer. Look at the size of my computer.
Don't mess with me. My God, that's an i7 processor on a 17-inch notebook. His gonads must be fried like a bunch of baked in Alaska Perry. No need for birth control with this guy. Let's hit on him.
Have we leched enough over this product or not?
Yeah. I'm just saying I feel they killed the 17-inch on purpose so they can push the 15-inch. That's just my feeling of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a quick comparison of 17 tricked out to the highest spec and see what it comes out at. But yeah, I think
please do.
Updates also to iOS 6 was launched at the dev conference this week at WWDC, and loads and loads of stuff. I've got to say, actually, that normally after the keynote, the 4S keynote particularly, I watched it and I was really unimpressed with that. And I found out afterwards it was 2 days before Steve Jobs passed away. So yeah, you can kind of cut them some slack on the fact that it was a bit of a down vibe that day. The next one in January, I was kind of like, well, that was a bit of a so-so keynote. I didn't think they had enough there to warrant pulling everyone out. Certainly the books thing they did at the Guggenheim. This one, I was really disappointed with the coverage, not the keynote, because I don't think the coverage really reflected just how good some of the stuff was in iOS 6. There's some real, real cool stuff here. Anyone?
Well, the best part of the keynote was the opening Siri bit. I mean, that was that was pure Apple.
Yeah, I expected that to be really cringeworthy, but it actually was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pure Apple. I think Steve would have been proud of that. But you know, I agree with you. The coverage was not so good. I actually watched the Ars Technica coverage, which was okay. You know, with the blog, the live blog. But I didn't get the full effect until I watched it afterwards when Apple put it up, and then I actually thought, yeah, it was okay. Tim was still Kermit, you know, Kermit Cook, as I like to call him. He was. he's still very, yes, yes, it's very, well, we got some amazing, well, fantastic, which, you know.
Did you know?
Which stair does he sit on? Does he sit on the top stair, the bottom stair, or the one in the middle?
You've gone all Dalek-y, mate. I don't know what you've done. Plug and unplug, mate. No, the one thing I noticed was that he's, when he did the keynote in January, he was kind of, you know, just spoke about himself. You know, it was deep voice, deep southern drawl, and it was fine. But now he's been coached into emphasizing words. He sounds like one of the Ninja Turtles. And this Calabunga, is really dude. Good, man. Totally superb. The drawl and the emphasis just don't go together. I was driving in a van listening to it, and I was crying at something because I wanted to go dude at the end of everything.
Well, Johnny I, better known as Splinter, needs to do something with him, because that's where it's lacking, honestly. That is where it's like, I like Cook, he's growing on me, but the keynotes, you know, I guess it's because we're comparing it to Jobs to all these years, and we really shouldn't, but he's got to get out of that. I mean, what you got on the graphic of Will right now, it's perfect. That's his stance through the whole damn keynote. That could be the whole video right there. It's almost like he's praying that he doesn't screw up.
So,
What a horrible job! What a job that you have, like a CEO of a company like Apple, where it's not enough that thanks to your co-stewardship and then your stewardship in a time of awful transition, Apple is making absolutely insane amounts of money, but still you've got to make sure that you perform well on stage for hour and a half. I thought he was fine.
I thought he was. I think he is good. I think I like him. I liked him when he was being natural, though, rather than trying to, you know, go through the speechy presentation emphasis.
I guess it's like this. If you've got like one of those match.com dates and you meet for coffee, wouldn't you rather be more interested by the guy who's sort of shy and a little bit stumbling over himself but wants to make a good impression, rather than "Hi, my name is Dale. Well, I like a camera. It cost me $6,000 and it only takes black and white pictures. Go ahead and try it, little lady."
That's because we're all geeks, dude. That's the people we are. Of course we're going to like him more. It's us.
Speed dating wouldn't work with him, though, would it? Speed dating would not work with Tim Cook. He's just too slow.
No.
What's the used car salesman guy? What's his name?
Forsman. No, that's the bloke who comes on our podcast. Forstall.
Forstall. He'd be good at speed dating, wouldn't he?
He would. He would. They walk out with a car at the end of it. That's for sure. Right. So going back to iOS 6, updates to Siri. Siri goes worldwide. Yeah. Can we get a cheer? Not America only. So we're going to get... And the maps. What did anyone think to the maps?
I can only speak to what I've seen published. And independent blogs. But yes, it looks absolutely wonderful. The turn-by-turn directions seem to work great. The 3D mapping, I think it's more of wanting to maintain parity with what else is going on in the mapping world. But yeah, that looks really, really great. I'm like so much of the announcements on iOS 6, I'm really curious to see how that affects competing apps. I mean, there's no shortage of really great navigation apps for the iPhone out there. But now you have...
Well, it did.
I don't think dead. I mean, they're not necessarily best in class, the navigation features that Apple's put in there. Although you do notice that when you look at these screenshots, there's an acknowledgments page which they acknowledge technology they license from TomTom. So maybe you're essentially getting a TomTom dashboard navigator inside the iPhone.
I think you are.
I'm trying to figure out, find well, out Tom, exactly.
TomTom's share price went up 50% the day after.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that was the first thing you actually see. But Google, I think back to like
Google's went down. Did you notice that Google's went down?
I think someone just bought their first Android tablet. As a stock analyst. Oh man, take that, Google! I'm downgrading you.
Well, I think now, there's a good point here in the chat room from Russ, because he's saying the thing with the maps is the maps are produced to be cartographically accurate, which means in terms of a turn by turn navigation system, they're all too friggin' thin. They're not great for display unless you zoom right in, and then you don't see a head down the street. So I think that's a really good point. You know, the scale-to-scale maps are not necessarily what you want from a turn-by-turn navigation system.
My favorite navigator is an app called GPS Drive by MotionX, and part of it is not just because of the what you described. They draw the maps with a big, thick magic marker. So, yeah, you really do see that you're supposed to turn left and not right. But also that the simple fact that there's an alternative display that just simply says, I'm going to fill the entire screen with just a big left arrow or right arrow and the name of the street you're supposed to find and how long you have until you have to make that turn as big as possible. So there's more to it than just simply having a good map database and just giving good directions. It's how you communicate to the driver.
Hmm. Carl, were you going to say something?
Not me.
Oh, you were. Sorry. Right. Okay.
No, I said enough. Trust me.
Okay.
I noticed that after the controversy of last week about the meaning of the logo, that it was finally revealed.
That
we all thought, I imagine when I say we, I mean the whole world all thought that it was the Apple TV from the top.
Well, that's what you said, yes.
It turned out it was the... Airport Express from the top.
What the? Because the Airport Express did nothing.
Got redesigned.
No.
Yeah, redesigned. It looks like the Apple TV.
While we're on the subject of Apple TV, has everyone else got an Airport Extreme? No.
Yeah, I've got the old ones.
No.
No, yeah. I've got one that I bought. I bought it 2 years ago, and every 3 months for 2 years, I have to just do a full reset, restart it, restart a new network, and it works just fine. And 3 months later, it craps out. No internet access. It keeps the network and it keeps the Wi-Fi network. Everyone connects to it, but then there's no internet on it at all. I don't know why. Just doesn't do it. Every 3 months, regular clockwork. There you go. Passbook. Passbook was interesting. You've got all of these pass facilities that you currently hold with airlines, cinemas, any of those things that will issue with a ticket, and you get your 2D barcode, your QR code, and you scan it, and away you go when you get to the airport, so if you're actually carrying a real ticket. Passbook is going to take all of these things and shove them in one location. Is this going to make it you really don't want to lose your phone now?
Oh, yeah.
You've got some guy flying around, going to the cinema, dressed as you, and... The first question I got in my head is there another layer of security associated with Passbook? Because I don't want to just rely on swipe to open, even with a passcode maybe. I would like to know that when I open Passbook, I had to do something else. I had to have a retina scan. I mean, there's so much information in this thing. You can't just run the risk of swipe only. There has to be a passcode associated. It has to force you towards a passcode, surely.
There's so much information on our phones nowadays anyways. I mean, nobody wants to lose their phone anymore. But yeah, I agree with you. There needs to be a higher class of security when it comes to these sort of things. I mean, yeah, you're talking about somebody got your phone. They're you now. And they can do anything they want, from spend your money to take your airline ticket to anything. I mean, it really is science fiction coming to life in some cases. And, you know, the next thing, our eyeballs will be cut out.
I mean, Andy, do you know if there's any more layer of security to that, or is it just basically once you swat in through the swipe to open, you can get there?
Again, I have to go solely by what I have seen reported on blogs, because if I had access to it, I wouldn't be allowed to talk about it.
No, because you
haven't seen it. I haven't seen anyone specifically talk about the level of security that's in there. I also understand that obviously at this point, nobody has active services that allow it to be used. So all I have been told about it is that you launch it and it just simply tells you, hey, this is the place where you're going to be putting all your receipts and all your passes and stuff like that. Mm. So no one has been able to really document so far what it does when you actually have a boarding pass in there or actually have a Starbucks card in there.
Yeah, you're going to have one guy flying around as you drinking a shed load of Starbucks.
The interesting thing, though, is that I was like everybody else, that as soon as Apple explained this on Monday, we're all thinking, oh, this is what they want to do, not next year, but maybe the year after that. I can actually buy things using my Apple ID because they have tens of millions of credit cards on file. This is wonderful. But I think Apple, through somebody else in a casual conversation with somebody, said that, no, we want to make it easier for you to buy things from Apple. We don't necessarily want to become like the wallet for the world. But, you know, Apple's famously said, oh, well, we don't think people actually want to watch movies on an iPod. And, you know, ebooks, they aren't really very good, and we're not interested in that. So
there'll never be HDMI on an Apple machine.
Right.
No, there'll never be a 7-inch iPad.
No. Well, there won't, though.
You lose your phone as well now.
You've got
the Apple self-service checkout. If someone steals your phone, they can head straight for the nearest Apple store.
Oh,
and just start checking stuff out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, just grab someone's phone.
Could that be like an enhancement to both Find My iPhone and both Find My iPhone and the Apple Store app, where you can say, at least if someone's like ripping you off and buying things at the Apple Store, oh, don't buy that printer. It's got like 80 million negative reviews on Amazon. Go for the Pixma printer made by Canon. It has cheaper cartridges. My credit history is going to say that I bought something. At least buy something good with my money.
Apple, very quietly, ever so quietly, and I can understand why, released a new cover for the iPad. It's got a back to it now, as well as the foldy front, and it completely encircles your iPad. And it doesn't help that it's in pink, I have to admit, but Jesus, this thing looks awful. It is not Apple. I mean, Andy, do you think the hand of Jobs is on that fifth?
Oh, that's nice.
Sorry?
That's lovely. The way the cutout in the back is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it nearly doesn't obscure the camera.
Oh.
I'm really curious about the decisions that go into that. Why does Apple even bother making cases and covers anymore? It's not like there's any shortage of them out there. And it's not as soon as they make one, everybody's going to be talking about stuff like that. Say, well, why doesn't it fit a little better? Oh, it doesn't feel like very Apple-like. And also, no one company can make a cover that's going to suit everybody. But it comes down to the point that this area is already so well handled by third parties. Awesome covers, awesome cases, awesome easels. I understand the idea of them wanting to, at least initially, make their own smart cover to just emphatically state the concept of why we have these magnets embedded in the size of the thing. What's possible with these things? But yeah, I mean, why are they? I think it just offends them that they don't sell a cover that protects the back as well as the front. And the scuff marks on the back of this little device are just offensive to the Oscar Wildean sensibilities of the upper design aesthetes inside Apple.
I just have one very important mission.
Go ahead, Carl. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, what I was going to say is I think the reason why they do make cover, first and foremost, I think it's a very good business for Apple, actually. I think they've done
Yeah, you're charging 70
well
bucks for a piece of leather that's worth 10.
Exactly. I think they've done very well in the accessory market. I think this goes back to the whole, I'm in the Apple store, I'm loving the Apple experience, I've got my iPad, I need a cover. There's a cover. I'll just grab the cover. Oh, it protects both sides. It's the impulse buy that Apple is the best at doing. They're the best at it. They're better than Walmart when you need the batteries at the checkout counter. That's why they do it. Yeah, there's many accessories out there that are so much better. I agree with that, but they're always going to be in the market of accessories because people think I've got an Apple product. I need to get the product that says that has the Apple logo on it, or that has that is officially authorized by Apple. You know, I really feel that that's how a lot of people think when they go into an Apple store.
Well, there are all kinds of third party cases inside the Apple store too. So I don't know. I would love to know exactly how much money they make from this case. If it really is that kind of an eye-popping amount that it justifies everything they have to do to make sure that they put it on, they make a satisfactory product. It is an interesting question.
Yeah. No. Mac Pros got an update very subtly, very quietly after the keynote. They got the new processors and Thunderbolt. Am I right? I think I'm right.
Thunder Chicken Eye.
Now, there is some suggestion of an update to this complete line in 2013, though. Someone was talking to someone else, and an Apple spokesman told me that new models and new designs of the Mac Pro will be coming in 2013. But there's no word on the iMac. Carl, you're shaking your head rapidly there. What do you know from your inside source? Is your cousin going to cough up the 40 bucks you lost?
Actually, no, yeah, he is, actually, because he's the one who actually took the full blame on the, not with the Apple TV. That was just a back and forth between, you know, us and, you know, I went out on a limb with that. But he was very surprised when I got an email from him earlier in the week that he was really surprised that the 7-inch is not coming.
Right.
He thought that was going to actually be there. It was going to be part of the WWDC thing. So that was a surprise to, I think, a lot of Apple people. But the big pros are dying. They're going to be killed soon. So don't go and buy one of those.
So despite the fact they've got a new processor, they haven't got Thunderbolt, says Super Chicken in the chat room. These things are not going to be upgraded anymore. No form factor redesign, no.
Well, I think the only reason the processors got upgraded is because Intel don't actually sell the old processors anymore. So Apple just run out of the old ones to put in it. So they had to put new processors in it or scrap the machines.
Right. Andy, you were going to say something there?
No, I was just going to say, are you sure that there's not going to be a Mac Pro? Like, there's not going to be a Tower Mac anymore? Or do you think
that... Yeah, Tower Mac. Exactly. The desktop, that whole desktop thing is going the side. First and foremost, you're getting Apple in the whole green market. These things are hogging machines when it comes to electricity. You can do so much now on a laptop that, you know, let's face it. I mean,
okay.
Unless they're going to put out... go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's just as Tim Cook did say explicitly that in response to an email from a user about the week upgrade to the Mac Pro, that he didn't explicitly say that, oh, we're going to have a new version, a new Tower Mac next year. I think he did leave a fairly detailed compared to a Jobs response email saying that we've got big plans for next year. We think that I'm not quoting here. I'm paraphrasing from memory. That we think that we're going to be making a happy next year. We've got things in the pipeline that we're going to be releasing next year that will hopefully make people like you happy.
I think it's fair to say, though, we'd all agree that the desktop line is not energy efficient. Certainly Mac Pros aren't. They're talking about if you run a MacBook Pro, it's going to cost you $400 a year in electricity alone here in the UK. So 256 quid. So there's a desperate redesign overdue for these things.
Well, and not only that, if I could just comment on Andy's email, the reason why he's stating that email the way it is, because I've been hearing for a long time, we're going to accommodate and make people like you happy. That is the individual, custom-made, what-do-you-need side of the Apple division that I keep hearing about.
Cha-ching.
As far as their pro. As far as their pro, that, hey, you know, this studio, you need this, the music studios, this kind of thing.
Yeah, look, I'm pulling up the email, so now I think it's important that I quote it, actually.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. And bear with me here.
Just while you do that, then, Andy, Will, you had a point.
You, this £256 a year.
Mm.
Well, is that if you keep your Mac Pro running sort of 24 hours a day type thing?
Yeah, if you leave it switched on and then you let it go to standby when you're not using it, and then use it and leave it to go to standby by itself, your electricity bill will be 256 quid at the end of the year, higher than if you.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
That's the running cost for electricity only on a Mac Pro. And you think about all the heat that you're generating off that as well, if you had a fan running. I've got a friend who's got a studio in Birmingham, and he's got a whole pile of stuff that when everything's on, the place is blisteringly hot. So he's put air conditioning in, and his bill is just like, it's £500 a month just to run the aircon to get rid of the heat off the stuff. But you can't work in there if you don't. If you've got a model in there, the models are just dripping in sweat, that, you know, they've got no chance. There's no amount of makeup is going to cover that up.
I got solar energy here, and I find myself with a perverse desire to burn electricity, so it doesn't cost me anything. So if it's a warm day, I'll put a heater on and watch the little disc spin around, but it won't spin around because the solar from the sun will stop it. That's the problem with solar energy.
Okay.
There's a perverse desire.
Will. Thanks, Will.
Okay. Yeah.
That really,
yeah. Well, those batteries you got in your room there, I think the gas is starting to get to you.
You cheeky devils. You were talking, don't matter. Go on. Anyway.
Andy, you're
coming. I'll go back in my cage.
Andy's coming back with his quote. Let's have the quote.
Yeah, it says, here's the email.
That'd be good.
This is his quote. Andy, go ahead, mate.
It says, Franz, thanks for your email. I wish I could do a Morgan Freeman voice, but I can't. Thanks Kermit for your email. Our pro customers like you are really important to us. Although we didn't have a chance to talk about a new Mac Pro at today's event, don't worry, as we're working on something really great for later next year. We also updated the current model today. We've been continuing to update Final Cut Pro with revolutionary pro features like industry-leading multi-cam support, and we just updated Aperture with incredible new image adjustment features. We also announced a MacBook Pro with a Retina display. That is a great solution for many pros. Tim. And then thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm available for your video game, cartoon, or feature film project. Breyers yogurt, filled with a sort of blueberry goodness that will make you think you're eating well. Breyers yogurt. Apparently there's a follow-up from a magazine that confirmed that yes, the email is genuine, and yes, that Apple is, that they're working on something for the pro I'm trying to find out whether there's Apple actually confirmed pro desktops or just more pro machines, but it does it's vague enough that he stops just short of saying we'll be having new Mac Pro desktop units next year. But I do think that it does indicate that they're not going to be abandoning desktops just yet.
Yeah.
That's my read anyway.
No, I think it definitely doesn't, but it did go on to be a bit of a sales pitch at the end.
Oh, well, he knows
getting out in the public.
Exactly. I'm sure it does look like he came up with a genuine response and just as part of procedure ran it by somebody whose job it is, because he knows he's going to be requoted. Also, season 5 of Glee coming to iTunes next week. That's what I'm going to be watching on my new Retina Pro display.
Was that a sales pitch on yogurt or on the? Because I noticed there was a a yogurt commercial at the end of that.
That was
I'm a print journalist in a rapidly collapsing market. I have to do brand awareness marketing wherever I can. It's 80 bucks is 80 bucks.
It's a good move. Buy Cadbury's chocolate. Anyway, what were you saying?
The comments in the chat room. Teresa says, nice accent, Andy. However, Jimmy the Greek says, sounds like Foghorn Leghorn doing Max.
I say, Foghorn Leghorn. Listen, boy.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you, boy. You're built too low to the ground. The fast ones go right over your head.
It's a pro. I say pro.
This podcast and all of the others are brought to you by UK2.net. We've been supported by them now for 3 years. They're absolutely amazing. They look after us fantastically. Last week's Mac show on Sunday morning after it was published, we had 10,000 downloads in 4 hours. And the servers, nothing. Didn't matter. It was fine. All well and good. They've really looked after us, and the stuff that we've got on them with the dedicated server is rock solid. I mean, dedicated server, £200 a month, and it's 100 terabytes of transfer a month. Really good value for money. They've got a ton of stuff. If you want to help us, then if you've got a UK2 account, go to britishtechnews.com and sign in through the tracking link, and that'll just show them that you're a returning customer from British Tech. If you want to buy something, though, go and buy what you want, fill your basket up, and go to the end checkout. And there's a series of offer codes that you can use. Don't put in your payment details until you've done the offer codes, though. Fill the basket up, type in British Tech Domains with an S, and if you've got any domains in there that you've purchased, you're going to get 20% off. Hit return, and it comes straight off. Then, still don't put in your payment details. If you've got DNS management charges in there because you've transferred a domain in, type in British Tech DNS and hit return, and those charges will disappear for 2 years. And then if you've got VPN, VPS, any of those kind of things, or dedicated, then you put those in after British Tech and hit return, and it'll affect the basket. Then put your payment details in and check out, and you'll save a phenomenal amount. You could technically wipe out your basket entirely of any charges. So please do go and have a play. Look at what the prices are, because before you even get your discount, they're good prices to start with. £5.68 for a domain. Come on. How hard's that? $7, $7.50. And it doesn't matter where you are as well. We keep saying UK2, and someone said last week, yeah, but I live in America, it doesn't work for me. Yes, it does. You can buy all of your stuff from UK2. They take PayPal, they take credit cards, US and UK. You can buy anything you like from them. Give them a go.
Pesos?
Pesos, they take pesos, yep. You can buy them over there, problem at all. The key part is PayPal.
Do they take euros now, or have they given those?
Yeah, I think that it's on a price on application basis, though, unfortunately. And if you're on Greece, you don't get anything anyway. So I'm sure you can buy them in Greece. There you go. You can buy them in Greece. They send you free plates to smash as well, I'm sure. But don't. Yeah, UK2, thanks for the support. We're going to do our picks, our cool thingies in a minute. First thing, though, we've got is Gazmaz's video.
Hi, everyone. Gazmaz here with a quick tip for the wonderful audience of The Mac Show, brought to you from the British Tech Network. This tip also comes with the help of Camtasia from TechSmith. Now, I'm not going to show you my ugly face this week. You just get to see my avatar at the start and the end of this particular tip. Now, I spoke about this particular tip over at the My Mac podcast, but the viewers of the Mac Show get to see it live in action. Okay, so it's great having the Finder tell you where you are in a system at the top of a Finder window, as I've shown here. But I also like to have the path bar open at the bottom of a Finder window. Now, to turn this option on, whilst in a Finder window, you go to View, and then where it says Show Path Bar, you just click on that option, and as you can see, it magically shows the path where you are at the bottom. So that's View, Hide Path Bar, and it disappears, View, Show Path Bar, and as I say, I like to have that option on. Now, I can hear a lot of you shouting at me, but Gaz, that's just duplicating what you can already see at the top of the window. Yep, it's definitely giving me the same information, but hang on a minute. If you take a closer look at those icons at the bottom, they aren't greyed out like the path info at the top of the window. This is because if you double-click on any part of the path at the bottom of the window, the Finder window will jump to that location. Magic. Let me show you an example. Go into Gaz. Oh, games and holiday. Let's go into holiday. Oh, let's go for 2013. Let's go for September. Now, if I stretch the Finder window open, you can see both at the top, it tells me, but clicking on there does nothing. However, if I want to jump back to my GAS folder, I click on, double click rather, on the GAS part, and as you can see, it's taken me back to that location. Now, if you suddenly realize you made a quick mistake and you want to get back deeper into your folders, of course, Apple are taking us away from all these sorts of folders, but for now, most of us still use them and like to use them. But if you found you made a mistake and you want to go back to your previous location, you can just click very quickly and it takes you back again to the previous part where you were, much like the back button on the Safari window. Now, there is a third path view which you can get to by going into Customize Toolbar. And the icon, which is the one here with the four staggered horizontal lines and a drop-down arrow, can be placed onto your toolbar just by clicking and holding and dragging onto the toolbar. And as you can now see, you've got exactly the same process. And again, if you click on any part and click the back button or the back arrow, it takes you back to the previous location, or you can easily see where you want to go. So if you want to turn this option on rather than the option at the bottom, view hide path bar, that obviously stays there. You can use this process to do the same thing that we've just done. And as you can see, it takes me up through the locations to where I was. If I go back to documents, made a mistake, back bar, back to where I was previously. However, I don't tend to use this option, so I'm going to drag it off, he says. I'm going to go into Customize Toolbar, rather, and drag it and take it off my toolbar and turn on the path bar at the bottom. The reason for that is I've just got used to that location and I've got used to the path bar being there. Now, if you think this makes the path at the top redundant, you can turn the path location off with a terminal command. However, it will still show the current location you're in. Let me briefly show you. You go into terminal, and let me just paste the command that I need to in the terminal screen. I'm going to have to restart the window, which is a force quit, Finder, relaunch it. Okay. And as you can see now, the location actually at the top just shows me the current folder location. So if I click on documents, double click on documents rather, it then at the top shows me where it is. So that never disappears. There's always going to be some information at the top. It's just whether you want to turn the default off so you just have the current location. Now, some people don't like going into a command, into the terminal, and it can be dangerous. So only really go in there if you know what you're doing. So I'm going to turn that option back on. I will send this link to Ewan so he can put it in the show notes for you all. Remember, Ewan, put it in the show notes. So I'm just going to relaunch the Finder bar again, or the Finder window again. And as you can see, it's gone back to showing me the full location at the top. I tend to leave that because I kind of ignore it. I do occasionally use it to look at it, but my eyes tend to move down here. There is one other thing that I use at the bottom of my Finder window, and that's the status bar. Again, you can turn this on and off by going to View, Show Status Bar. This does have a shortcut, unlike actually turning on the path location, which is Command/. So Command/ turns it off, Command/ turns it back on. Now, this gives you a brief bit of info about how many items you have in the current folder location. So as you can see, there is just one item in the current folder location. Unfortunately, it doesn't count what is in the subfolders of that particular folder. As you can see, there are more, but now it counts all of the items which are in that location, which are three. But more importantly for me, it shows the available bank balance you have left in respect of your hard drive space. As you can see here, I still have 257 gigabytes available to me. Now, having that on all the time just gives me a quick overview of what's available, and you tend to remember where you were previously. Now, if it's just you using machine, that's probably fine. You know exactly what you're doing and what you're using and how much drive space you're taking up. However, I have a family where I've got three other users that are always adding stuff to the system. So I have to keep a bit of a close eye on that allocation. And there is a little bit of cleanup to do, actually. Now, I hope that was helpful. That's all I have for you this week. As usual, have a great Mac week.
Hang on. Insert the video here. This is post-production. I've hit the green counter. Thanks, Gaz. That was great. I got to find a way of making that sound like it's smooth, but it's not.
You're a fantastic liar, you know that.
Yeah, I'm a actor. Yeah. DHM, do you have a cool thing?
Yes.
What have you got for
us? Last week's mapping thing went well, didn't it? The globe thing, that went very well, I thought.
Yes, I thought it was very good, considering it's redundant now.
It's not. The world's still there. The world's still your oyster. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I may or may not have mentioned that Netflix was a load of old toot.
Yeah?
Netflix is bloody ace.
Ah, this is like Plex in reverse. Go on.
Oh, excellent. It's on everything we've got now. It's on all the Macs. It's on the iPad. It's on the phones. It's on the Apple TV. Netflix, that's my pick. I do a 180-degree about turn. We love it.
And that's it. $5.99 of joyousness.
Absolutely, $5.99. I mean, yeah, brilliant. I mean, the girls, they come back with friends from school, bang. Oh, I want to watch Lindsay Lohan in something. I mean, yeah, okay, there's weaknesses in the catalogue for current stuff and big budget stuff. But as a kind of fallback entertainment centre that you can pick up an iPad or a computer or a thing, yeah, I was completely wrong. It's ace.
There you go. It's got some old stuff, I grant you, but it is pretty good.
A lot of old stuff, but I watched A Bridge Too Far the other day whilst I was doing something else, and that was wonderful.
You see? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Netflix is not great. It does have that password glitch, though. Yeah, watch out for the password glitch. It does have a password glitch that you keep having to put your password in constantly on the Apple TV, but outside of that, works beautifully.
Yep.
Mr. Natco, do you have a cool thing?
Yeah, actually, literally a cool thing. It's the Thermapack Heat Shift laptop cooler. It's a black pad that's filled with sort of like a crystalline substance, and when you put it underneath a laptop that generates heat, it actually wicks away the heat that's being generated by the CPU. And what happens is that the heat gets transmogrified into energy that melts these crystals, and so the end effect is that the laptop doesn't get all overheated. The big deal, though, is that it's summertime, and I'm usually working in shorts, and I've got my bare knees, and I can't really use this a laptop on my knees before it's an hour in. It's like, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ah, ah. Just putting this pad underneath wicks away all the moisture. It'll work for about 4 or 5 hours before the heat starts to build up a little bit too much, but that's enough to save your skin and save the CPU too. So I often travel with something it replaced the thing that I used to travel with, because oftentimes when I'm in one of those hotel rooms with a big king size bed, I'll have the laptop just next to me. I'll still be sleeping on a queen size area, but I'll use the edge of the last 2 feet of the bed just to my computer and stuff like that handy. And sometimes I'll fall asleep and I'll be woken up by screaming fans because it's got this foot thick comforter underneath it that's basically retaining all the heat. The heat shift pad does a really good job of just sliding underneath there. It'll really keep the heat mitigated. And it's thin, it's lightweight, it's not terribly cheap given that it's just a pad. It's $20 for the 15 inch model. There's I use the 10 inch model just for, again, skin protection. That's $20 on Amazon. But it's it, went from something that a company sent for me for free to try out to something that I bought two or three more copies of because I just use them so often.
I was surprised when you said the price as well, because $20, I'd got in my head something stupid, you know, because of the technology of the crystals and all that stuff, you know. Oh, you get $70 out of these suckers.
Yeah, it's the thing is, it looks like a pot holder, and I spend usually about $1.50 for a pot holder. But pot holders tend to, like, again, they're insulators. They aren't like reflectors. So, But I voted with my dollars on this thing. Okay, dollars, not real money, but still.
Chat room saying, yay, Gaz, great video. Good pick, mate. Thank you ever so much. Nice one. Mr. Swagger, dude, cool thing.
Actually, it's a paid app. I know. It's amazing. I spent money again on an app, but you know, when you have work, it's amazing.
You should be buying this stuff. You should be giving it us, shouldn't you?
Spending their money.
Yeah. PayPal. Just email me, Will.
Was it Kyle at what?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for just announcing that on the podcast. I'll be loving that spam in the morning.
No, Gmail does really well with spam, mate. You won't get any.
Oh, yeah. It sure does. Yeah, it does. Until now. Good player. $2.99. I think it's £1.99 in the UK store. It's not the greatest interface in the world, but what it does do, and you know that I love, is FLAC. And I have my home server all set up. It's all FLAC music that's on there. And I was sick and tired of trying to use an app that you'd have to FTP it over or Wi-Fi it over to the phone or to the iPad. And I came across this. Some of the reviews, I think, you know, are a little dodgy on it. It does have a hard time playing 96 kilohertz FLAC on some things. Other things, it's not having any problem with. But other than that, most of the things I don't have in that, it plays it flawlessly. It does AVI. It does MKV over Wi-Fi. As long as it's 720p, It does it fairly well if you have your network, you know, configured correctly.
To be fair to Good Player, though, mate, you're such an audiophile that each of your singles are probably nearly half a terabyte each, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
The quality level, yeah.
Yeah. But I like, you know, it does handle the high files, megabyte files very, very well. And another thing I like about it, which a lot of things, that a lot of apps don't do, it has continuous play or play in the background. So if you're doing something, say, on your iPad, you can have it playing in the background. Some apps don't do that. And a lot of them don't do next track, next track, next track. This does. It'll, if you go into the album, it will play the whole album, you know, over your network. So I've been loving it. Yeah, and I don't have to copy everything over to...
Good pick now as well. Cloud, how does it deal with Cloud? If you've got your collection on iTunes Match and...
It doesn't do anything in the cloud.
Nothing
to do.
That's coming.
Cloud support.
That'll be coming.
Hopefully.
Good pick. Greeny, what have you got for us, sir?
I've got Gemini. Gemini.
Which is...
A constellation.
It's a constellation. And if you're born in June, you are a Gemini. And it's also an application as well.
Which does what? I didn't think I was going to have to drag it at you, man. That's not the way this section works.
But to be honest, I was trying to find the bloody thing.
You're supposed to guess.
I'll do mine. We'll come back to you.
I've got it.
Would my wife be more likely to use this product than, say, my brother?
Yes.
I don't know.
20 questions.
No, maybe not.
Flashback to 1955.
Animal, vegetable, mineral.
Right.
Go ahead, Gemini. Go ahead.
I'm going to do it. Look. If you're not Andy, you miserable devil, if you're not going to do that thing, look.
I was focused on the show. I didn't want to abandon my post. I'll go get the hat right now.
Will's got a fedora.
Yeah, well, don't put it on, though.
Just tell me what you want me to do. I'm sorry. I'll do it.
No. What I want you to do, this is rich, but we're giving it away. Well, I'm going to throw my hat to you, right? And then it'll appear at the other side of the Atlantic.
Greeny, I hope you're not expecting me to edit this trivial.
Not my hat. I'll be back.
Okay.
This isn't trivial. This is magical. This is almost Paul Daniels caliber.
Okay. You've got to throw it high left from where you are, Will, and Andy's got to catch it from low right.
Yeah.
And I'll edit this bit out so that it works for you. Not.
Okay.
Right. Greeny, give us a frigging pick.
It's called Gemini.
It's called Gemini. And what does it do?
It scans your entire Mac for duplicate files, images, videos, and whatever. And so if you've been a Mac user for a long, long time, it gets...
you accumulate a lot of crap.
No, to be honest, I did it, right? And it saved 12 gigabytes of space on my Mac. And it costs about, I think it's about £8 or $12 or something along that. And it, along those lines, it's one of those sort of use once and sort of forget about apps. But it, if you're struggling for space or if you're a bit, you want to sort of, well, that's it really, actually.
Good pick, mate. Good pick. Right. So Andy's
You're just saying that.
I'm moving on swiftly because Andy's got his app, mate, just like you wanted.
Okay.
Right. So go on then.
I need to get the video back. Yeah. I lost the video.
Go on. Okay. So you're going to throw it high left and he's going to catch it low right.
So yeah. I'm catching it from this side.
You're catching it. No, he's throwing it high left. You're catching it low right, Andy, for you.
Well, just tell me like where my hand is right now. Is that where it should go?
No, opposite side. Your right. Low right. That's it. Yeah.
Got it.
Ready? Okay. Well, go.
3, 2, 1, go.
Go. There he is.
Ah. Oh, it's a beauty.
I'm going to pass out from lack of oxygen.
Did it work?
Yeah, I worked a treat, dude. Absolute treat. The timing was spot on. Yeah.
Brilliant. And it actually picked up a couple of letters in transit, C and U, and it shrank.
Well, that's the thing with these sort of, when you digitize something and send it over the airwaves, and it kind of rematerializes the other side. Well, it does change sometimes a little bit.
I think I see the problem. Like, you were using like the old-fashioned kind, but I've got the Retina display version, so the pixels are smaller. Different.
15-inch bill on there too.
Oh man!
My pick doesn't really matter, does it? I suppose after that. No, my cool thing is Final Cut Pro 10. I know we've picked it before, and it when it first came out, it was really really good. I enjoyed doing the playing around with it. This week, I've been shooting video. I've been doing a lot of stuff on green screen all week, and I've had people doing pieces to camera that I then had to edit together with some music, some text, and some backdrop stuff. I have never seen anything that's so easy to use. The user interface has been fantastic. I've really got green screen down to an absolute art now on this thing. It's superb. It is excellent at picking stuff out from the background. The videos that I've shot have looked really, really great. I've been really pleased with them. So has the customer. So my pick's Final Cut Pro 10. It is the best £199 you can spend. It is stunning for the money. Unbelievable.
You've changed your tune ranking.
No, I haven't. I said it was good before. I didn't think it was worth. Didn't know if it was worth that much, but it is. It's worth every penny. What have I said? I didn't dislike it before.
You used to really slag it off.
No. Final Cut, when it was Final Cut Express, I used to have lessons with Tom Lewis at the bloody Apple store, and I'd walk out and I'd forgotten how to open a document. It was so convoluted. It's a piece of crap. FCP 10, awesome. Stunning.
Was it McAllister who didn't like it? I know one of you didn't like it.
I think there's a lot of previous video editors don't find it intuitive, but I've really slipped into it this week. It was so easy to do. And this morning the clients rung up and said, just want to change the order on those three people that are talking. Can you put the one at the end at the start and then shovel them all down? Yeah, that's going to take me a little while. I'll get back to you later on today. 10 minutes. Done. Thank you very much.
Thank God for minimum billing hours.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Then I watched the podcast. I'm joking. It took me a lot longer than that. I had to redo the music and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where can we get a hold of you, DHM?
Me, at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters, and www.drhappymac.co.uk in the internet and at the market as ever.
The Cornhole with Princess Anne.
Yeah.
By the fountain with the candlestick.
You see that? I've just seen on the BBC, they've just done a little news popped up that someone's just sprung for an Apple One computer at Sotheby's for, what has it gone for? $375,000.
Oh.
That was Will. He wanted the keyboard.
See, they wanted the expansion bus. You see, people will pay extra for expandability.
Yeah, but the Rams soldered onto it.
Is that another apple that you can't service?
It's soldered on by Wozniak rather than a factory robot in China.
Another Mac you can't service, though, Andy.
Yeah. $375,000. Wow.
Imagine if it went wrong and they brought it to you and you f***ed it up. That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Hang on.
Now this is one model. It's quite basic. The hammer could fix this one, no problem.
Thank you for that. Well, bit of editing for the weekend. Nothing else to do. Andy, where can we get hold of you, pal?
If you can spell my last name, go to anotgo.com or hit me at anotgo on Twitter. If you can't spell my last name, go to cwob.com for my celestial waste of bandwidth. They'll point you to the same places. And you can read my columns two or three times a week at the Chicago Sun-Times, suntimes.com.
Did you get your artwork that Paul Kirkle did for you with you and the Queen?
No.
I sent you an email. You have to look through. I sent you an email.
I should really take you off the blacklist. I'm sorry about that.
No,
I was upset.
I sent you an email that's a picture of you and the Queen. Are you watching the feed by any chance or not?
I'm going to give you feed.
I'll give you feedback next week. I've got a new video card that'll let me do it.
But, excellent.
Full way out. But basically, it's a picture of you and the Queen for the bash next week. And Mr. Kirkle has outdone himself because it is exactly like you. It really
is. I will say this sincerely. I'm sure it's a marvelous piece of artwork, but just as a sociological thing, what does anybody ever hear the phrase, it looks exactly like you, and think, oh, then I'm sure I'll love it? No, make me look good. Make me look better.
No. No, it looks great.
I hope you got this carbuncle right over here. I've been developing it for 3 years.
Well, if you go to britishtechnetwork.com, you'll see it because it's there right on page one. There you go. You can have a look before we come back. The British Tech Bash is happening on the 6th of July. It's only 3 weeks away. Tickets are available at britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk. If you haven't got a ticket, you can't get in. It's so we get the numbers for ordering food and stuff like that. I don't want to buy a ton of food for people that aren't going to be here. But if you go and get your ticket, you can be here. There's going to be podcasting. There's going to be fun. We're talking to Andy about him coming over for that. And Will's going to be there. And I'm going to be there. And DHM's going to be there. And Don's going to be there. And we're going to podcast and just enjoy the day, just relax and chill. It's going to pee down probably, so we'll get wet, but I've got some stuff to put up to keep us dry, but it should
naked
be
naked and mud, mate.
A mud bath.
Naked and mud.
No,
I mean, we could all get together, right?
We could, but it's not gonna happen. I'm not getting naked in front of no one.
That's a reason. Come on, it'd be quite good.
No, it won't.
It will. Still.
No, it won't. It really won't.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you be naked? And if that works out, then we'll consider joining.
Good lad. Good lad.
You should definitely do that. You should definitely do that. That's a great idea.
You need things to hit other people with, though, don't you? So if there's the mud bath, and I'll get all naked and all muddy and stuff. You need things to hit people with, like those big foam cushions and stuff like they do.
Okay, so...
Isn't that just attractive women, though? Or is...
So, you want to be naked and be hit with things.
Yeah, you could.
That's right.
You and Max Mosley together, mate.
I think we're seeing a peek at your Craigslist ads here. And also wear the top half of a scuba outfit and a firefighting helmet.
How'd you know about that, Andy?
Again, I've got Google alerts for all of you.
Have you seen your picture yet?
I've seen my picture. It is delightful.
It is good. Well, I sent you the full-size image of that. That's Paul Kirkle, who's an iPad artist. He's drawn that on the iPad using brushes and stuff, and he's brilliant. He's just fantastic. He's going to be there as well. He's bringing a whole pile of posters. We've also got a character that he's created called Beer Nito, whose special power is the ability to manipulate beer. And I've had a T-shirt made with that on that I'll be wearing on the day. And it's going to be loads of fun. We've got a couple of other pictures away. You can take some pictures from Paul. He's going to bring stuff down that's printed out up to A2, and you can buy a print. And any prints that we sell, the money's going to go to NSPCC, which is Will's charity as well. And if you haven't bought it yet, get yourself the green counter, which is in the Mac App Store, and it's it's in the iTunes App Store, and it's a little thing that you can punch Will in the face, and it's it makes a time code reference if you've got a podcast or something when someone swears. It's really useful, actually. I used it last week, and it's brilliant. And Will is going to do some sound effects for when you punch him in the face. So, and all the money from those, it's been an app purchase, and all the money from that is going to go to the National Society for Protection of Children as well, NSPCC, which probably stands for something completely different, but it'll do. So that's the Bash, 6th of July. Get a ticket, britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk.
So you're not going to join me then?
We'll play by ear, mate, all right? Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you could just sit on the corner a little bit. Just keep your pants on.
Okay, add to the previous stuff, and you like it when people watch.
I'll be sitting on the fence for sure, mate, watching you wallow in the mud. There's no mud in my house anyway. My wife will kill you, mate. You're stuffed if you do that.
No, it's at the rugby club anyways. I thought you rugger chaps like that.
Well, we'll wait and see. But yeah, it probably will be. We got a 5-acre field available if we want it. That'd be fine. We got power logistics to sort out for that, but yeah, we'll make it. Mr. Swagger, where can we get you, mate?
No. I'm still stunned with Will naked. I don't know if I can go on. You can find me on Twitter.
Stunner.
I was sodded, as you'd say.
at Carl Swagger on Twitter.
Yeah, at Carl
Swagger. I'm just trying to stop the video before this episode's a terabyte to download. And Mr. Green.
BritishMac.com.
Thanks, mate. We'll be back again next week. We got the photo show at 2 and the Mac show at 3:30. On the Thursday, we'll have the big show at 8 o'clock, and we'll have the radio show at 9:30. All back to normal next week, because I've been a bit busy this week, unfortunately. Have a great weekend, and enjoy the monsoon conditions that we're expecting over the weekend, and do be safe. I hope you don't get washed away somewhere and killed. For God's sake, be careful. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Om chicka wow wow.